Logo, Amazon Original. A logo of an M in a cube. Text, Millennium Media.
What makes a person extraordinary?
A close-up of a female brown eye.
Everyone wants to be normal, but no one wants to be ordinary.
A children's birthday party.
And what is normal? We all see the pretty pictures on our feeds. Normal party, normal family, normal adorable little girl. But there's always more behind the facade.
The little girl walks.
Most of the time, Lindy seems quite normal. But buried deep in her DNA, she has a gift. Some call it a condition, or even worse, a disorder, that's just waiting to be activated. And it makes her anything but normal.
She grabs the boy's head.
When people do bad things, Lindy cannot control herself. Maybe if she'd had that normal, loving family, she could have been extraordinary. But just like Lindy, Mummy and Daddy had their own demons.
Teen boys run away.
Whether it was that Mummy's pills made her so sleepy, or that Daddy got so angry when he drank too much, we'll never know. But whatever it was, Lindy never got the love she needed. Instead, she got angrier and angrier, and her disorder got worse and worse.
In a doctor's office.
And then her parents got her diagnosis. The doctors called it intermittent explosive disorder.
The paper says transfer of guardianship, Lindy Lewis.
She could not live safely in the world.
Lindy in the waiting room.
And no one would be safe around her. So to live at all, she would have to live alone, isolated from others till a cure could be found.
Lindy in a padded room.
The huge amount of cortisol coursing through Lindy's body made her faster than normal, stronger than normal, which made her incredibly attractive to certain interested parties.
Two adults observe Lindy through a two-way mirror.
But her condition also made her extremely volatile.
A man in a surgical mask and scrubs escorts Lindy down a hallway. She struggles.
And far, far angrier than normal.
The man smacks Lindy and walks off.
Lindy had a hair trigger. Once provoked, she would snap.
She snaps her wrist restraints.
Until she could gain control, she was no use to anyone. Her life as a human lab rat began. The results were mixed.
She grabs the doctor by the neck and throws him to the ground.
So they thought maybe the military would give her the structure to channel her unique gifts.
Two adults watch Lindy through a two-way mirror in an interrogation room.
Or maybe not.
Soldiers in helmets fight with padded joust sticks. Other soldiers cheer them on. A captain watches. Soldier Lindy gains the upper hand and hits the taller fighter in the face, who falls. Lindy continues to attack. The captain whistles, but Lindy does not stop. The captain attempts to restrain her. The soldiers continue to cheer. The captain eventually succeeds in Lindy's restraint.
They were so kind and supportive.
Captain shouts.
It's a wonder it didn't help.
He pushes her head back.
Of course, all these cures only made it worse. You would think they'd learn not to piss her off.
Lindy's pupil gets very tiny, and she attacks the captain with the jousting stick, who falls.
More and more like they would just lock her up and throw away the key.
Lindy continues to pummel the captain with the stick.
Lindy would be alone. Forever. And then a breakthrough. A chance to be normal. The treatment was brutal, barbaric, outrageous, and surprisingly effective.
She pushes the button. Lightning bolts course through her eyes. Text, jolt. There, you're checking on my story like you don't care. But every time I look, I see you right there. Why you trying to watch my joy ride, 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 ride? A woman approaches and stops as she stands in a city alley at nighttime. She glares ahead. A corner restaurant. Inside, people in formal wear eat. She exhales. Inside, a man in glasses sits alone and looks at his wristwatch. The woman sighs and begins to walk into the restaurant. Outside, a man argues with a valet attendant.
Car keys. I know, I'm sorry, but give me just a minute, okay?
That is fucking idiot part of your job description.
I know, I'm sorry, sir. There's like a million keys.
Yeah, and apparently you're too dumb even for a minimum wage job.
Is this your key?
Yes, that's my key, you fucking moron.
The woman stares as the man gets into his car. Her pupils constrict.
Hey, this is my car.
Yeah, I think you forgot something.
What?
Your manners.
Lindy slams the open door repeatedly on the man's leg.
Is this your key?
Yes, that's my key, you fucking moron.
Lindy pushes the button. Her pupils dilate and electric jolts flash in her eyes. The man enters his car.
Don't expect a tip.
Lindy turns to the restaurant and walks in. The man in glasses reads the menu. Lindy approaches.
Justin. Hi. I'm Lindy.
Hey.
He smiles at her.
Actually, I'm not staying. I thought a date might be fun, but I'm not in the right headspace, so I didn't want to bail without saying something because I'm not a total bitch.
Okay. So, you know, it's funny. This isn't even the worst date I've ever had.
Yeah, I feel bad. I'm sorry about
herpes.
That.
Yeah, herpes, chlamydia, and warts.
Okay.
This girl just kept listing off all the sexually transmitted infections she had. It was unexpected.
She attempts to leave.
I mean, warts generally are, aren't they?
You don't have a disaster date story?
I don't date that much. No.
Oh. Is that because you're always leaving before they start?
She smiles. He smiles back.
No, you're doing quite well. I normally don't even come in.
Oh, why not?
Arms crossed.
I hate people.
Like who?
People who talk with their mouth full and people who chew too loudly, people who hum, men who wear jeans with flip-flops.
I can't stand people who walk too slow.
Yeah, exactly.
Or tell you to have a nice day.
Yeah, like, fuck off, I might not want a nice day.
Or people that talk in elevators.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, aside from people that fart in elevators, that's worse.
Do you fart in elevators?
Do you fart?
No, I'm from England. We don't.
Are we ready to order?
I'm actually not staying, so I don't know.
Sir, I'm afraid if she won't be dining with you, we will need the table back.
Okay.
Now.
Okay, I'll just have the chicken really quickly then.
Fish, please, without the pine nuts.
We don't do substitutions.
Oh no, I'm allergic.
It's restaurant policy.
The pasta, please.
There is a walnut sauce.
How about the pork chop?
Pistachio crust.
Fuck me. Well, perhaps you could suggest something that might work.
Please don't take that tone.
No, I'm not.
Sir, you are.
Making it impossible for me to impress my date. Nah.
Lindy's hand shakes as she grips the knife.
How about the chicken?
Lindy pushes the button. Her attention turns to Justin.
Sure.
Thank you.
Let me know if you need anything else.
Thank you.
The waitress leaves.
You know, if you're planning to stab her with that knife, it'd be totally cool with me.
Lindy looks at her hand that holds the knife. She lets go of it.
I have to pee, actually.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
She stands and walks off. She enters a bathroom and approaches a mirror.
The guy just told his wife he is having an affair. Some old woman's dentures got stuck in her steak. But hold up, you should see the first date I just served. I gave the guy some attitude. He practically cried into his napkin.
Yeah, and his date just sat there and watched him squirm.
Oh my god, he's so embarrassed. Squirming with the customers is like my own private freak show.
Pushes the button.
The guy had allergies to pretty much everything on the menu.
Lindy begins to exit.
It was pathetic.
She stops and turns back.
I know.
Her pupils constrict. She kicks the stall door in. The waitress lunges backward. Lindy assaults the waitress. She smashes her head against the walls. Lindy picks up the cell phone.
She'll call you back.
Justin sits at the table. Lindy looks at the button.
Fuck!
She leaves the bathroom. Justin turns back. Lindy is already back on the street. Lindy jogs away from the restaurant. Justin exits the restaurant and looks around. The night skyline. Buildings are lit up. Lindy walks alone down a street with neon signs on the buildings. She approaches a building labeled Park. A sign reads apartments for sale. She enters a dark apartment. Neon light streams in through the windows. She tosses her keys and purse onto a couch and removes her jacket. She looks out of one of the windows. A backwards A, R, and K from Park are attached to the windows. Lindy removes her shirt. Her arms, back, and chest are covered in electrode pads. A daytime cityscape. She walks down a sidewalk past a man on phone.
Oh, ain't you a fine little piece?
Lindy enters a cobblestone townhouse. A man sits at an office desk and writes on a legal pad.
It's not working.
The man pulls out a gun.
Okay, fix it.
You're probably just building up a tolerance.
No, I'm not.
Look, this is cutting-edge, avant-garde treatment.
Okay, well, I'm sure you'll get the Nobel Prize once you're dead.
Is that a threat?
Can you fix it or not?
Okay.
Lindy sits on a couch.
Here.
He tosses her a pair of handcuffs.
Your emotions must be running pretty high in order for you to override the system.
Yeah, I have an unnaturally high level of cortisol, so my emotions are running high all the time.
But you cannot keep using biochemistry as an excuse all the time. So I'm assuming that the date was a disappointment then?
I mean, given that its primary function was to test if I could partake in a customary social situation without beating the shit out of someone, then yeah, I would say yeah, it was a real disappointment.
How badly did you hurt him?
I didn't get around to him.
Who'd you get around to?
A waitress. Look, it doesn't matter. Your thing failed.
Lindy, this is not a cure. I've told you that. The only way we're gonna make progress is if you begin to reconcile with your past.
I've told you my story.
But there's a difference between talking about your past and actually working through it.
He taps screwdriver. Her pupils constrict. She snaps the handcuffs, dashes at the man, and stabs him in the neck with the screwdriver. He gushes blood from the jugular. A cutaway. She is still handcuffed. He fiddles with her button. Her pupils dilate.
Asphyxiation?
Jugular bleed.
Classic. Here you go.
He tosses her the key.
I've upped the voltage, but there's only so much that the human body can take.
You don't care about me. I'm just an experiment.
Why would I risk my life's work if I didn't care? And why won't you admit that you really like this guy?
Because I didn't.
Okay.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think last night proved that your exposure therapy didn't work.
What would you like me to do? Would you like me to put leeches on your skin? Would you like me to drill a hole in your head to release the demons? Would you like me to make you drink your own urine?
Have you tried that?
That's disgusting. Anyway, I think that really you need to admit that the answer to all of your problems is close human connection.
Penis is not going to fix me, Dr. Freud.
And
I've tried that as well.
You obviously like this guy, so for once have a relationship.
Oh, please fuck off.
I'm talking about love.
No, I don't want a boyfriend. We both know I'd end up knocking his teeth down his throat.
Maybe you won't, but I don't know why you would walk away from somebody who made you feel something.
Ugh. Okay, I'm walking away from you because you're getting on my nerves.
She exits.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Elsewhere, Lindy rides on a crowded subway car. The man beside her spreads his legs as he eats, which pushes her further into the rail. She reads a cell phone ad. Text, life is about connection. Make that call. The man spreads further. The next ad reads, be your own boss and own your space. Her pupils constrict. She smacks man with food.
God,
thank you so much.
Not bad, huh?
Wow.
Not a shitty waitress in sight.
No.
I'm glad you called. I hate to miss a second chance to disappoint a pretty face.
How are you planning on doing that?
I don't know. Depends if you find lame-ass accountants cool or not.
Well, that depends. Who do you work for?
I work for a private company. This guy named Barry. You? What do you do?
I used to work in security.
Okay. So you know your way around a pair of handcuffs?
Less BDSM, more bouncer in a crappy bar.
You're not a bouncer.
Yeah. What?
What do you weigh, like a 108?
It's not about size, Justin.
No?
We've heard.
No. What's it about?
Other things, like speed and endurance, fearlessness, things like that.
Okay. What happened?
A cutaway. Lindy is in a dimly lit club and beats a man mercilessly.
I'm currently seeking a new career path.
Mm, you got fired.
Yes, well, it wasn't my fault. It, I mean, it was actually entirely my fault. I don't know, my heart wasn't in it.
No? What is your heart in?
I like photography.
Now, what do you take pictures of?
Mostly naked accountants.
They both grin.
I don't know, just people going about their lives. I take pictures on my phone sometimes for fun. It's not really.
It sounds kind of voyeuristic to me.
I mean, I'm wanking constantly.
Well,
they stop.
I'm sorry if I seem kind of boring.
Thank you for apologizing. I am quite bored.
There's nothing I can do about it.
There's a couple of things you could do.
What can I do?
In Lindy's dim apartment hallway, Justin kisses Lindy. Her back is against the door as they kiss.
Maybe this is a mistake. I have to warn you, I'm really crap at dating.
How bad could you be?
A cutaway. Lindy tosses Justin against the fence and punches his face. She sits on him in lap dance position and snaps his neck.
Very bad.
I'm not scared.
Well, maybe you should be.
He leans in and kisses her. She opens her door and they enter. The number 9 on her door unhinges and flips upside down to read as 6. Inside, they make out as they undress. Lindy tosses her button on the counter. They each remove their shirts and continue to kiss in their undershirts. He removes her shirt.
Oh, wait, hold.
In her bra, her electrodes are revealed. He gapes.
It's,
Is that like a kinky thing, or?
No.
Okay.
She looks at the button on the counter.
Look, the thing is, Justin, I...
Hey.
He leans closer and kisses her shoulder.
It's not.
He kisses her lips, and she kisses back. Later, in bed, Justin removes her electrodes and kisses her skin beneath them.
It's okay.
He leans in and kisses her lips. His head is between her legs like the cutaway, but he is unharmed, going down on her. Later, she sits on his lap, like the cutaway, but they are making out passionately, less dressed than earlier. Her eye closes. Blackout. Daytime outside. Lindy sleeps on the bed. Her button sits on the nightstand. She wakes and turns to the other side of the bed, empty. Justin is at the kitchen area.
Good morning.
More like afternoon. Looks so cute where you're sleeping, I didn't want to wake you up.
Not really used to being called cute.
No? Well, you are. And you let your guard down. Your place is weird.
Justin walks with a pastry.
It's good weird. What's with all the plastic plates and cups? You just move in?
No, I hate washing up.
Well, in addition to the world's most expensive Danish, I got you something.
A wrapped box.
Oh, my amazing in bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She takes it from him and opens it.
Oh my God. Oh no, think that's too much.
No, it's not.
It's a fancy camera.
Wow.
I like it.
Love it. Thank you.
She kisses him.
Oh, by the way, last night, I never do that.
No?
No, I mean, never.
Well, I'm glad you did. You are, you're full of surprises. The least of which is, this whole situation. You want to elaborate now that we know each other better?
Yeah.
She looks at the button.
You know what? You don't have to. I'm sorry.
I will. It's a new treatment for this, thing.
You're not gonna die on me, are you?
No.
That'd be just my luck. You know, I meet the most amazing woman in the city, and you got 6 months to live?
No, I've got, an impulse control, problem, and that helps me to not have it.
Like Tourette's?
No, just tiny bit more intense.
Okay. Well, I mean, have you tried meditation or something?
Yeah, sort of.
A cutaway. Lindy meditates. She smacks a man.
Yoga. Medication.
She swallows pills.
Extreme sports.
She climbs a rock face. She kicks a sparring partner in the face.
You know, I've tried, like, a whole lot of things, picked up lots of useless skills, and, that's the thing that helps.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with you.
She smiles slightly, stands and kisses him. He backs away playfully.
No. I gotta go to work.
Well, that's I'm late. You're sick.
No, I can't. Barry will totally bust my balls.
Oh, okay. Well, no, leave the balls exactly as they are. They are good. But can't you say something came up with another client?
Well, I only have one. And he pays for my exclusivity. So. Okay. Come to my place tonight. Yeah? I'll cook. I'm a fucking ninja with a piece of halibut.
He leaves her apartment. She dances in her bed. She grooms, dresses, and leaves. Outside, she fixes the 9 on the door. On the street. His feet on the desk.
You're early.
Yes, I was excited to see you.
Why?
Because you're a genius. You're a bald and burnished genius. I'm cured.
Oh, you saw him again?
And I had an impulse, but it wasn't a breaking his legs, smash his face in, slamming. Actually, there was a bit of slamming. But it was warm and romantic and filthy.
This is progress.
He nods at her.
Very good.
Very good. It's brilliant. Listen, I took the vest off.
Wow.
A couple more weeks, I'm not even going to need this.
That's great.
She sits on the desk.
But I think it's temporary euphoria.
I can't stop thinking about him. His hands, mm-hmm. his face, mm-hmm. his hair smells right, really amazing. Right. Oh, my right. God, the penis. Right. I almost called you in the middle of it. It, like, unfurled itself, like, 10 times its length, like a travel umbrella. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Never actually seen it.
No, I don't
Grower.
Know.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know those existed.
Oh, and he's cooking me dinner tonight.
Stop it.
Fish.
Fish? But you don't like fish.
But people change.
They do.
Changed.
It's true. Okay, why don't we sit down and let's have a little chat about this. Because...
Boring. And okay, snooze. Right. Because I want to celebrate. Can we open a bottle of something?
No, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, you're being a bad friend.
I'm not your friend. I'm your psychiatrist.
I finally want to talk about Dick. You should be salivating.
Gross. No, look, sit down, please, all right?
No, I don't need a session today.
Yes, you do, because you're manic, and it's making me incredibly anxious, and I'm worried
anxious.
About
it. Don't be anxious.
I am, though.
I love you.
Okay. Love you, too.
I love you more!
No!
She rushes out and leaves him alone. On the street, she takes pictures with the camera. She snaps a man who puts on a helmet beside a motorcycle. She snaps a couple who hold hands as they walk. She takes another picture. She applies mascara in a bathroom. Elsewhere, at home, she dresses. She checks the text messages again. The chat is identical to before. She sits on the couch and dials the phone. She wears the electrodes.
Hello?
Justin?
No. This is Detective Vickers. Homicide.
At a police station, Lindy holds the button. She speaks to two officers.
How do you know it was murder?
His body was found in a dumpster with two gunshot wounds to the head.
Lindy gasps.
Were you together very long?
Tonight was going to be our third date. He was going to cook me dinner. Fish.
Salmon?
Halibut.
You know any of his friends, family, or co-workers?
No, I know he's an accountant. He was an accountant. But he only had one client. Some guy named Barry.
Well, we're gonna find who did this.
Let's not give the lady false hope. Statistically, it's unlikely.
We're not giving her anything. We're reassuring her we're gonna do our best.
Some people prefer honesty.
Some people prefer compassion.
Can I see him?
No. Family only right now.
Can I talk to his family?
We haven't been able to find anyone yet.
Then who's gonna mind if I see him?
Policy's gonna mind. Those are the rules.
Yeah, she loves rules. Look, we really are very sorry.
The male officer grabs Lindy's hand. The pupil constricts. Lindy grabs his wrist and tosses him to the ground. She disarms the second officer and fires. Blood spatters on the glass wall. Lindy pushes the button and calms down.
Sounds like your guy was involved in some pretty sketchy business. Dodged a bullet or two.
Hands her a card.
Listen, just give us a call if you remember anything else.
Thanks.
Lindy exits. The officers look at each other.
What the fuck hell was that?
She was upset. She's grieving. I'm just trying to comfort her.
I think she's angry.
I don't think so.
That's why you like her. You like him with a little rage bottled up inside. Better in bed. Until it blows up in your stupid ass face. I'm a big, strong policeman. Let me embrace you and comfort your grieving vagina.
I want to comfort a vagina.
Elsewhere, an overhead shot of a graveyard. Lindy stands alone, dressed in black, beside a priest, in front of a coffin. Elsewhere, Lindy sits alone on a bench on a pier. A flashback to her date with Justin.
It's not a big deal.
A cutaway. He stands at her kitchen area as she lies in bed. He disappears as she continues to lie in bed. Nighttime, she looks out her window. Her pupil constricts. She walks hurriedly down the night sidewalk. She enters her doctor's townhouse and jumps on his back.
You fixed me, now
he grabs her button and shocks her.
I'm gonna get you a second. Now you have to stop shocking yourself, Lindy.
He injects her with a syringe. The picture fades to black. A flashback of Justin.
I'm not scared of you.
A cutaway. Justin kisses her neck. A cutaway. Lindy smiles. Justin lays on top of her. A cutaway. Lindy lies on a couch.
Lindy.
She awakens in her doctor's office.
Where is it?
You're holding it.
She looks at her hand, which holds the button. She presses it.
How do you feel?
She sits up slowly.
I want to crush your skull with my bare hands.
He looks down.
I'm sorry about Justin.
They acted like it was no big deal.
Who?
The police.
Well, don't focus on them. Focus on yourself.
It's obvious they thought his boss had something to do with it. Which... I mean, of course, right? He only had one client. That's a bit weird, isn't it?
I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Fuck them. No, I need to find out who did this. I have to talk to Justin's boss.
What if you just took a moment and you
What
fell?
If I just snapped your neck? I'm gonna find the fuckers who did this.
If you go down that path, you are never, ever going to get better.
She begins to exit.
Fuck.
You're gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, you're fucking right I am.
Wait, I have to tell you something.
Look, some people cry, some people drink, some people write shit poetry. I hurt people. Might as well put it to good use.
She leaves. On the sidewalk, she takes out her cell phone. As she checks it, the film camera rotates over the top around her. When she walks off, she is upside down. The phone rings at the police station. Vickers answers.
Vickers.
Hi, Detective Vickers. I need to talk to you. I think I have more information, but I'm scared. Can you come meet me at my place?
Yeah, we'll be right there.
They hang up, hurriedly grab their jackets, and leave. As they exit, Lindy enters the police station from a different entrance. She approaches Vickers' desk and picks up a folder. She continues to walk and grabs an entry card off of a nearby jacket draped over an unoccupied chair. She uses the key card to enter a secure door. Inside are cardboard boxes of evidence. She finds Justin's shirt and smells it. She flashes back to memories of their date. In the police room, she pushes the button. She finds Justin's wallet and phone in a bag and pockets the bag. She returns the box. On the nighttime street, she consults his driver's license. She approaches a building. Inside, she exits an elevator into a furnished apartment. The apartment is neatly furnished, futuristic furniture, a large mural of a jellyfish on the wall. Lindy looks at something on the counter, then continues to walk. She opens the fridge. There are two pieces of halibut in a container. Her phone beeps. She takes out the phone and answers.
Hello?
Hi, Lindy. It's Detective Vickers.
Hello, Detective. You're angry, right?
Why are you stealing evidence?
Because I want to find out what happened.
That's my job.
Uh-huh. How's that going for you?
I found you, didn't I?
What?
My partner wants to bring you in
for interfering with an investigation and robbery and probably a whole bunch of other stuff because she's ridiculously thorough. But I wanted to give you the chance
to come in on your own and clear up this misunderstanding.
Without all the, you know, jail.
She's on her way up now.
Fucking balls! Where are you?
Parked out front.
She's not gonna shoot me, is she?
No, of course not.
Freeze!
She fires.
Then again, she might.
So here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna put your arms over your head, I'm gonna cuff you, I'm gonna take you down to the station, and then I'm gonna book you.
What if I have other plans?
I'll fucking shoot you. And then waste a bunch of time writing up a report instead of hunting down your boyfriend's killer.
Wasn't actually my boyfriend.
Yet. Commitment issues?
It was early days.
As if dating in the city wasn't hard enough. You finally find a good man, and boom, two bullets to the brain.
Your partner's a trip, Vickers.
Hey, Nevin.
Is that? Are you fucking kidding me? Give me the phone.
Lindy stands, hands up, and faces Nevin, who's aiming a gun at her. Lindy drops the phone and kicks it gently to Nevin, who holds it to her ear.
Please don't tell me you just called this murder suspect.
Lindy quickly swipes and knocks her to the ground.
Sorry, having a bad day.
Freeze!
I didn't kill him, bitch!
Lindy runs down the hall. Nevin gets up and gives chase. Lindy enters an elevator. The doors close as Nevin approaches.
Hello?
Oh, hi, Detective.
Lindy, is everything okay up there? Is Nevin okay?
Nevin enters Vickers' car. Justin's car jolts forward, then stops.
Remembering how to drive stick.
She figures out the gear shift. Justin's car speeds down the parking exit.
Stupid motherfucker!
Holy shit, I knew that sound.
That's a McLaren 600 LT Spider.
It's a car.
The car picks up speed.
Really fast one.
Are you still on the phone with that kooky cunt sickle?
Nevin and Vickers watch as the car speeds by them. Vickers drives off in Lindy's direction.
Where did you learn to drive? Are you even trying to catch her?
I'm flooring it.
Guys, it's way more to concentrate with you two bickering.
Lindy turns a corner and weaves in and out of traffic. At an intersection, a truck pulls in front of her. She brakes quickly. Vickers' car approaches.
Come on, Lindy.
Oh, I think I'm starting to get the hang of the stick shift.
The car takes off backwards. Vickers passes going forward as Lindy drives backwards. Vickers brakes. Lindy brakes, which spins the car around. Vickers makes a slower U-turn.
Lindy, please stay on the phone. I'm trying to help you.
Okay. I really have to concentrate now, so it's been really nice catching up.
Now wait! You go through with this and you're on your own.
Same as always.
Lindy takes off in the car. Vickers turns around and tries to follow. Lindy speeds on the highway and notices Vickers in the side mirror.
Lindy, I'm trying to help you. You're gonna get somebody killed.
If you think I had anything to do with Justin's death, then you're shitter at your job than I thought.
We don't think you killed Justin.
Speak for yourself.
Lindy enters a tunnel. Vickers follows. The cars continue to speed under an underpass. Lindy turns sharply. Vickers watches the car veer off, mouth wide open. Lindy continues to drive down a side street. Vickers continues to chase her as he squints his eyes. Lindy sees in her side mirror that Vickers is still in pursuit. Lindy approaches a traffic jam and turns. She veers off in the other direction.
I'm not doing it.
Don't bitch on me now, Vickers!
Vickers crosses the median a bit slower, but makes the turn. Lindy now drives head-on toward Vickers. Vickers swerves first. Lindy passes safely. Vickers' car crashes into a truck in the next lane. His airbags deploy. Lindy turns back, then speeds off. Daytime. Lindy drives Justin's car into a sparsely filled parking lot. She exits the car and approaches a building with a sign that reads, Technomag. Inside the electronics store, three employees play video games at a display counter.
If you can't ascertain the cause of the outbreak, then you have no idea how many zombies you'll have to kill over time.
A lightsaber would solve both problems.
We specified a real-world scenario?
Yeah, a real zombie apocalypse.
Besides, there's no way to recharge a lightsaber's dyadium power cell after it runs out.
Dyadium power cells don't run out of energy, they recycle it.
The employees turn and see Lindy.
Who's in charge around here?
I'm the manager.
If you're the manager, then you're the last person I want to talk to. I need someone who actually knows what they're doing. Who's the biggest geek you've got in this place?
Andy.
Elsewhere, a person in a hoodie sits at a desk in front of about 10 computer monitors, all with different multicolored graphics and coding. Andy lowers the hoodie, which reveals a young woman with dyed purple buns in her hair.
No. It's more the man I loved was murdered and I stole his phone from the police. But now I've got to track down the bad guy before they do so I can kill the shit out of them.
Oh, cool.
Andy hooks up Justin's phone to the computers and begins typing. The three employees watch.
And we're in.
Oh, wow, you're good.
Obviously. Not much here. No history. This must be a burner. Your boyfriend a drug dealer or something?
No, accountant. I mean, he wasn't. We weren't yet, you know.
Yeah, right. I get it.
I don't.
Did your mouth just fart, Doug?
Sorry.
A street map appears on a monitor.
The last 7 calls came from an abandoned building downtown. Shady.
What does that mean?
Not sure. Let's see who owns it.
Andy squints and types.
Barry Kasparsky. Whoa, FBI files show ties to arms dealers.
Holy shit.
That's the guy.
How much do I owe you?
Trust me, you can't afford me.
Thanks.
Oh. Lindy takes the phone. Lindy returns and drops the car key on Andy's desk. Andy and the employees watch Lindy leave. Elsewhere, at night, Lindy enters a very dark building. She approaches closed saloon doors. Two burly men stand guard. One man hands Lindy something, and they open the doors for her. Inside, it's very dark. Lindy holds a flashlight. She approaches a crowd of people in a circle who cheer on a fight. The fighters kickbox with bare hands. They are bloody. Lindy approaches the center of the ring. People aim their flashlights to observe the match. Barry sits, smartly dressed, watching silently. Lindy sees him, then approaches the fighters.
Boys, boys, boys!
The fight stops.
Whatever it is you're fighting over, I'm sure we can all talk it out.
Money? Yeah. You know, like bets?
Oh. Duh. Is it too late to put dollar on the other one just because you're a bit of a bleeder and you drop your left when you hook?
What's going on?
Oh, are you Barry? I guess so. Just, you seem like you have the biggest dick in here, so...
What do you want?
Well, I wanted to pick your brains about the phone calls you have with the accountant that works for you. Did you kill him?
What are you? Cop? Fed?
Oh, no, girlfriend. I mean, I say girlfriend. We went on, like, 2 dates, but... Yeah, I was really hopeful. I was crossing fingers.
I didn't kill any accountant.
But you know who did.
Probably.
Well, amazing. I mean, that saves me a massive headache, Barry. You're a sweetheart.
I didn't say I'd tell you.
Oh, seriously? You're gonna make me go through the whole face-stomping, bone-breaking routine? Okay, fine. I tell you what. How about I beat 3 of your best guys, and you tell me the name?
Sounds like fun. You, you, and you. But not 3 in a row. All at the same time.
I like a man who challenges me. Okay, so what are the, like, rules?
No rules.
One man approaches Lindy. He is shirtless.
All right.
She extends her hand to shake. He takes it. She kicks him. He crouches in pain. Lindy downs the second man with one punch. The third bum rushes her and lifts her. She counters and drops him to the ground. She punches his face till blood spits out of his mouth. The first man kicks her off him. She lies motionless on the ground. The man stands over her. She rises. He grabs her by the hair and pulls her to her feet. He pulls her off the ground and arches her back. She pulls out a nipple ring. She rips a genital ring.
Lucky guess.
She tackles him to the ground and batters him.
That's enough! Fight's over!
Barry rises.
Everybody out.
If you had a bigger Adam's apple, this would be really working for me.
She sits on the man's face and stares at Barry. Outside, a limousine drives through the streets. Inside the car, Lindy pours a tumbler of brown liquor.
You don't mind, do you? Just a bit parched after that.
She drinks.
Oh, I needed that. Okay, you were gonna tell me who killed Justin?
Those men back there, they work for me. They respect me, and they pay tribute to me. They do this because they know that I am a man of my word. Now, business like this, I like to keep private. Because the truth is, all that I have is because of one thing, and one thing only. And that is that I have never been a man of my word.
She glares at him.
So, if you'll excuse me, I don't like to get business on my suit.
Limo driver points gun.
What is it about gross old men always underestimating women?
Lindy grabs the driver's hand. Barry attempts to leave the car. Lindy pulls him back.
Interesting ball color. What are we calling that? Oxblood? Claret?
Just like a woman. Straight for the nuts.
No, I only do that when I'm in a hurry. Although, evolution hasn't really been kind to you guys, putting the on-off switch dangling around in front for any predator to come by and flick. Now, who killed him?
I don't know.
Don't be silly.
Gareth Faisal!
Gareth Faisal?
Yeah, he's my boss.
And why would he kill his accountant?
Maybe he was skimming the books. Look, even the government ain't dumb enough to go after Faisal. Are you really that stupid?
You know what? I think I am exactly that stupid.
She moves the cables to Barry's crotch. He screams in agony. Elsewhere in the city, daytime, a hospital monitor readout. Vickers lies in a bed. Nevin eats nearby.
You enjoying that?
Background check came in. Your little girlfriend, she's got a history of violence. Assault, harassment. Interesting job history, too. Classified type shit. So she's got skills and an anger issue. Not a great combo.
I still don't think she's the type to blow her boyfriend's head off.
Hope not. Or else you're next.
She's got a short fuse. Doesn't make her a murderer.
That's what happens when you don't follow protocol.
Sometimes common sense trumps protocol.
Nah. I'm good being the superior one in this relationship.
Nevin has finished the food.
Hey, what am I supposed to eat?
I'll see what I can swipe from the gunshot victim next door.
She puts on her jacket and leaves.
Always taking such good care of me. Thank you, partner.
He reads the folder. He notices pictures of her parents. Both are labeled deceased.
Oh, allergic to latex. You're no fun. Wow, impressive urine output. Good for you. Oh, don't bother. I'll run away and you'll get yourself all emasculated trying to catch me. Here, I did get a bouquet, but I gave it to this woman in the elevator. She was just been diagnosed with something horrible and couldn't stop crying. It was really awkward. Glad to see you're all right. Wanted to say thank you for warning me.
I wasn't warning you. I was giving you a chance to do the right thing.
Well, thank you for giving me the chance. Now, I found out who killed Justin.
Who?
Gareth Faisal.
You got any proof?
Obviously not the sort of person who gives a fuck about proof. What do you know about him?
Billionaire recluse with his fingers in a bunch of different illegal pies. He's pretty much untouchable.
Oh, I'm gonna touch him. Hard. And a lot. And not in a way he's gonna enjoy. Where can I find him?
Why are you doing this? Is this Justin really worth you risking your life for?
Look, yeah, it was early days. I didn't know him. I didn't know half this shit he was caught up in. But I do know he was a decent guy. He didn't deserve to die like that.
Nobody does.
Well, no, but most people make me want to run away screaming or snap their fingers off. He was nice. He was really nice.
There's lots of nice guys out there.
Yeah, they're all frightened of me. He wanted to cook me fish.
Vickers looks up at her. He has bandages on his temple.
The Empyrean Tower downtown.
Thank you.
But I can't let you go there.
You're not in a great position to stop me, are you?
But I am.
Walker to man.
Sorry.
She chases after Lindy.
Please get back in.
Nevin exits the hospital into the courtyard. Lindy has entered another door. She snaps a mop in half and jams both halves into the door handles. As she runs down the hallway, Nevin approaches the door. She pounds on the door. Lindy continues to race down the hallways. She enters an apparently empty room and closes the blinds. As she pulls back the curtain, she is in an NICU room with babies in small baskets. She gently walks between the two rows of babies and squats behind a medicine drawer. She ducks behind a cabinet. She raises her brows and looks at the baby. The baby turns its head side to side as it sobs. She glares at the baby. She pushes the button and jolts. She relaxes, then looks side to side and stands.
Stop it, stop it.
She rises and places her hand on the baby.
Breathe!
Nevin enters.
Don't move. Don't breathe. Don't fucking fart.
Oh, come on. You're not gonna start shitting here.
I will shoot you.
Put the gun down.
Why would I do that?
Because I want you to be ready.
Ready for what?
This.
Her eyes widen as she lifts baby. Lindy tosses the baby at Nevin, then darts off.
Freeze!
Lindy freezes.
Don't you dare. Don't do it!
Lindy picks up another
Sarah
baby.
Trust you.
Lindy tosses the baby. Nevin catches it and puts it down. Lindy leaves the room. Nevin chases. In the hallway, Nevin looks in all directions, but Lindy has vanished. At night, the cityscape. A large, gold-illuminated tower appears in the skyline. Lindy looks up at it. Inside the large, empty first floor, Lindy approaches a man in a suit who stands with his arms folded. The man wears an earpiece.
Can I help you?
Gareth Faisal.
There's no one here by that name.
Okay. It's gonna be a lot less painful for you if you just point me in the right direction.
Good evening.
A second man in a suit enters.
Can I be of assistance?
Mr. Delacroix, this woman is asking for a Mr. Faisal, and she threatened me.
She cocks her head.
You're fired.
For what?
Your tone. Miss? Right this way.
Lindy nods at the greeter and follows Mr. Delacroix.
That was a pretty epic dick swinging.
Elsewhere, an elevator opens, and Delacroix offers Lindy to enter. She does. Delacroix follows. The elevator doors close, and they stand inside. Lindy notices the elevator moves down.
That's strange. I would have thought the big cheese would be on the top floor.
He is.
Delacroix elbows her in the neck. She falls. She lies in a bright white room. A hand flicks her awake.
Ow! Ow! Clean blow to my brachial plexus nerve group. Good one.
He puts her button on a desk beside her electrodes.
You must be security. Unless this is some really fucked up date.
Head up, and you are?
About to pee my pants. I'd like 4 Red Bulls on the way here. Is that what the drain in the floor is for?
He indicates her vest and button.
What are these for?
It's a really bad idea to take those. I need them.
What for?
A bad heart.
Well, they're mine now. Why are you here?
I need to see your boss.
Regarding what?
He killed Justin.
Justin who?
His accountant.
Why would he have killed your Justin?
I don't know. Boring, everyday bean counter who's cooking the books for a shady arms dealer. Suddenly assassinated and tossed in a dumpster. Sounds like he had information to disclose. Seemed like a solid lead. I mean, that and Barry told me.
Are you a relation of the deceased?
No. I was... No, we were...
I see.
Do you?
No. Nor do I desire to. I'm going to give you a chance to vacate the premises peacefully.
What if I don't?
You will find out what the drainage system is for. And I will be keeping those.
She looks at the vest. Delacroix looks at her. Outside, two men escort Lindy into the back of a car. Delacroix stands and watches. The car drives through the city streets. An older man with a white beard drives. Lindy's thumb instinctively pushes, but she does not have the button.
My vest. I need my vest.
She taps the back seat of the car with her hand. Delacroix walks in the open-aired first floor, past a second greeter, similarly dressed. Delacroix passes the elevator bank and enters a room filled with shelves of bleach bottles. He reaches into the shelf, and the false back wall opens, which reveals an elevator. He enters, and the doors close, the false wall replaces itself. A dark open floor layout. There are glass display cases laid out. An old naked man who hangs from a chain-like contraption lowers himself to a standing position. Delacroix approaches. Attendants unchain the man.
Apologies for the disturbance. We've had a visitor, a woman. She's peculiar.
In the car, Lindy gasps.
I need to get out of the car.
The driver continues onward.
Can you let me out of the car?
Look, miss, I don't want to seem overly familiar, but I gotta take you home.
Unlock this door, let me out!
Asking about an accountant.
A concern?
Let me out of the car, for your sake!
Miss!
Let me out! Let me out!
Lindy strangles him.
I'm sure who may have been aware of her presence here, so I opted to let her go.
But enough of a concern to bother me with.
As she strangles, the car swerves. The car swerves out of control and crashes. The driver grabs his forehead.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry!
Lindy exits the car and runs. An attendant puts a robe on Faisal.
More light. An unknown variable.
You know, I don't like unknown variables. Deal with her.
Delacroix nods and exits. Lindy's doctor enters his office with a bag. His light switch doesn't work.
Please help me.
Oh, fuck.
Lindy by the lamp.
What are you doing here?
I lost my device. Do you have another one here? I really need it. Please.
He switches on a nearby desk lamp.
What happened to the lamp?
I figured if things got really bad, I could bite down on both ends.
Lindy holds a severed lamp wire. The doctor reaches for his gun, drawer, but Lindy aims the gun at him.
Sorry.
She gives him the gun.
Thanks.
Have you seen that movie, Old Yeller?
Yeah, it's a classic.
I've never seen it, but I know how it ends. So if I try anything, kill me.
Mascara stained tears stream down her cheeks.
If I make this thing for you, will you stop going after this guy?
No.
Shakes her head.
But I can promise more innocent people won't get hurt along the way.
She looks down.
Okay.
He stands up.
Do you want some Chinese food? There's Kung Pao chicken and sweet and sour something and some egg rolls and all that. You should eat something. Don't touch the shrimp fried rice.
Aims the gun at her.
That's mine.
She smiles. He turns.
I'll get the vest.
He exits the room. Lindy sits and watches. The camera fades to black. Lindy approaches her apartment door. The nine is upside down. She crouches and fiddles with dynamite rigged on her apartment floor. She rips out a diode. Later, she sits on the floor and works with wires beside an open toolbox. She sits beside a red couch. She turns the burners on her gas stove on. She opens a microwave and places a tin foil ball inside. She sets the timer for 20 minutes. Outside her apartment on the street, Vickers sits in a different car than before. Lindy gets into the passenger seat.
Jesus, what are you doing?
I'm hiding from the beat cops down the street. What are you doing? It's sitting outside my apartment. Some kind of police foreplay. Are you wearing my knickers?
I'm doing my job.
A boy in the back seat.
See, we've taken down another major drug kingpin.
Got sent home from school for setting the class pet free.
Hamster.
Rabbit. Hey, listen to me. There's some pretty nasty guys in the hospital, you know, and their description of the deranged psycho who put them there matches you.
What? Come on. Little old me? What do you possibly think I could do anything
like that? Don't fuck around with me, Lindy.
Okay, but not now. I need you to look after this.
Hands her camera.
I'm not dumping evidence for you.
I'm not asking you to.
Look, I'm giving you the chance to turn yourself in here.
Okay, I will. Just not yet.
Hey, listen to me. Faisal's not some dickbag gangster, okay? He's gonna be looking for you and he's gonna kill you.
Right, well, he already tried. I think someone's been in my apartment.
That's it.
He pulls out handcuffs.
Not your choice anymore.
No. Well, that's a very bad idea. I've got this condition, okay? It makes me snap. I can't control it and I hurt people. I wear this thing that gives me electric shocks so that I can stop it happening. But really, I really don't want to hurt you or anybody else.
I don't think you'd hurt me.
No?
No.
Would you leave me on my own with him?
Yeah.
Bollocks.
I don't think you'd hurt him either.
You sure?
What does that thing feel like?
He puts the cuffs away.
Come on.
She puts his hand on her collarbone.
What do you...
Here.
She pushes the button.
Okay, you know what that tells me?
I'm way more screwed up than you thought.
No, it tells me that you'd rather hurt yourself than somebody else. Nevin says I treat you different because you're a woman. She says I'm going easy on you.
Is she right?
I treat you different because you are different.
Her apartment building explodes. Passengers on the street panic.
Nobody's looking for me now.
Lindy
exits the car. Vickers gets out. The boy sits up.
Whoa! What's that? Dad?
Vickers leans against his car. Later, at night, firefighters spray hoses at the building. Vickers stands outside and makes a phone call.
Lindy, listen to me.
I'm a little busy at the moment.
Look, Lindy, I don't want to play games anymore.
You have to stop looking for Justin's killer. You're going to get hurt. I know what you're capable of. I read all about it in your file.
Okay, are you done looking me up on some bullshit database?
Because, listen, detective, I'm going to do what I need to do.
Lindy, I don't want to see you wind up dead. Just let us do our job.
So, what? Does that
mean you're going to go in and arrest Faisal?
Yeah, thought not.
Lindy hangs up. As the camera moves away, she scales the outside of Faisal's tower, and she is near the top. Vickers turns back to Lindy's apartment. Lindy reaches the very top. She climbs without ropes. As she looks up, she sees Delacroix above her with a gun.
Oh, I was hoping to see you.
Inside, Faisal sits among the glass display cases. In the cases are statues of birds. He sips from a wine glass. Delacroix enters holding Lindy. At his glass dinner table, Faisal eats lobster.
You like lobster?
I always thought it was overrated and overpriced.
Most people don't realize that lobsters belong in the same biological phylum as cockroaches.
He takes another bite.
They're both arthropods with segmented bodies. They both have the same compound eyes and jointed legs. Even their meat is the same. Lobsters must be boiled alive. Cockroaches poisoned.
Wow. Ugly and boring. What a winning combination. What the fuck has this got to do with me?
You are an odd specimen.
Faisal licks his fingers.
Not sure what phylum you belong in.
Me neither. That's something my therapist and I are really delving into.
I understand you're here to kill me. Something about an accountant? Your boyfriend?
We hadn't put a label on it, but he was pretty special.
I kill a lot of people. I suppose some of them may be accountants. I'm sorry I killed yours.
Well, apology not accepted, creepy fuck.
Rude.
Delacroix restrains her.
You are certainly a rare species. I'm glad I took this opportunity to get one good, long, hard look at you.
Okay, but can we do it?
Delacroix smacks her head with a gun. Lindy sits restrained in the white room again.
Without whacking me on the head this time. Fuck. Fuck.
She is restrained without a vest. An electric saw.
Balls.
Fuck balls indeed.
I'm getting the feeling there's no cookie and juice after this.
Not for you.
Wait.
Justin. Did you pull the trigger?
No, I didn't. Though I wish I had.
He turns two valves.
This is gonna take a sec, so sit back, relax, enjoy the ride.
What are you doing to me?
Do you know what exsanguination means? The drainage of one's blood.
Delacroix throws away a pair of rubber gloves. Her pupil constricts. She rips her arm out of the restraints and squirts his eye with the blood tube. She uses a scalpel to free her feet. Delacroix kicks her backwards into the chair. She grabs some metal chains above her and whips him around the neck. He struggles, then pulls the chain. He uses the slack of chain to strangle her, then reaches above and hooks the chain on some overhead hooks to elevate her by the neck. Delacroix punches the now defenseless Lindy in the abdomen. She attempts to kick him in the crotch, which he blocks. With her other foot, she swings up and kicks his head. He falls. She frees herself from the chains. She begins to kick him as he lies. She settles and stands over him. He convulses.
I have a few questions.
She looks at the tools Delacroix has laid out. The camera cuts. We are outside in the hallway. Elsewhere, Lindy exits the elevator and approaches the main entrance space.
Hey! Where do you think you're going?
Two men approach her. With fist chops and punches, she knocks them both away. She kicks one of the men, who falls. A third man approaches. She knocks him down as well. All three men attack simultaneously. She dodges one of the punches, which hits a man instead. She kicks the puncher back and throws the other man overhead. He lands on the puncher. A fourth man appears. She fights with the two standing. She smashes one's foot with a nearby fire extinguisher, then blocks his punch with it. She struggles with an attacker, blocks with the extinguisher, which she sprays in another attacker's face. She then tosses it into another attacker's head. The attacker swings it at her. She dodges, and it hits another man. She punches two of the remaining attackers, who fall. She scissors the last attacker around the neck and flips him around to choke him. She then rises. One man is still conscious. She stomps him, picks up her bag, and walks off. She enters the bleach room, pushes a button, and the false wall opens. She uses a severed bloody finger on an elevator entry pad, which then reads, "Access granted." She arrives at Faisal's floor.
Get ready to die, you sick fuck!
She approaches Faisal, who lies face down in his lobster plate. She walks, but now in slow motion. A man appears, but only from the neck down. He claps. Lindy's jaw opens. She smiles. Justin appears.
Bravo. Well done.
He brandishes a gun.
You know, I gotta admit, Lindy, right toward the end there, I didn't think you had it in you. So, my apologies. I decided to take care of Faisal myself.
He opens a champagne bottle.
What are you covered in? Is it that time of the month?
I saw you. How?
Well, the guy in the casket? No. some bum off the street.
Jesus Christ.
He pops the bottle.
Yeah, I just paid off the coroner, you know.
Why?
I had to get Faisal out of the way. But CIA can't operate on U.S. soil.
Even the government wouldn't be dumb enough to go after him.
Exactly. Yeah, I needed someone from the outside, you know, someone to draw the attention away from myself. Someone who couldn't be traced back to me.
So you chose me? Why?
A glowing recommendation from Dr. Munch. I mean, who do you think funds his batshit crazy experiments? But see, I knew you were something else. Yeah, my little kamikaze canine.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, in the Second World War, they strapped bombs to dogs, and they would train them to run into enemy tanks, right? The puppies thought they were just gonna get a treat or something, but they got detonated into dog burger. Yeah. So I just had to figure out what treats I needed to use to train you to take out Faisal. And if you failed or got killed in the process, well, you know, cost me nothing. That's why you were perfect. Where's my car, by the way?
Who the fuck are you?
Who am I? I'm the only one keeping this old shitbag from killing innocent people. Faisal was an asset that became a liability. Everybody wanted him dead, but nobody could touch him. And you think this masochistic piece of shit was ever gonna stop? Not so untouchable anymore, are you, handsome? Huh?
You low-life piece of shit. I'm gonna fucking kill you.
You could try. Or we could just fuck instead.
Her pupil constricts. She lunges at him. He pulls out a button and pushes it. She falls to the ground. He keeps pushing.
What? We had fun, right? I mean, you did all this for me. You must really be into me.
He pushes the button.
Oh, what the fuck?
Was that too strong for you? Oh, sorry, I did a bit of tinkering.
He pushes again.
You know what, though? It's gonna turn out to be a really beautiful story, Lindy. Desperate, broken princess avenges the death of her lover and then takes her own life.
He pushes again.
Motherfucker!
She crawls toward him. She picks up his gun and fires at him.
Oops. You know what's funny? I thought you'd be harder to crack. I really did. Because you seemed pretty messed up. No, in an interesting way, but no, you're easy.
She pushes again. She reacts, but slightly less.
Well, it turns out all you needed was to be fucked.
He pushes again. She doesn't react at all. He pushes again. She maintains her focus. Her pupil constricts. She stands. He continues to push.
You know what? It is actually that time of the month. Unlucky for you. Fuck this.
She tosses her bag at him and runs toward the back of the room.
What the fuck is this?
A party gift!
She enters the elevator. Inside the bag is the rigged-up dynamite.
Eat shit.
She pushes a button she holds and the bag explodes. The flame reaches the back of the room just as the elevator descends. Explosions burst from the top of the tower and light up the night sky. Lindy kicks open the door to her doctor's office. The room has been completely stripped of all possessions and furniture except the desk. She approaches the one the gun is always in. The doctor enters with the gun.
I'm sorry.
Backstabbing.
Wait, wait. I had no idea what they were going to do with you. I'm assuming that both Justin and Faisal are dead?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Guess who's next?
No, wait. Remember, we set you free.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think your exposure therapy was quite so fucking extreme.
Yeah, but look, it was able to show you how extraordinary you are.
You served me up like a lamb to the slaughter.
I had no idea. But look at you, Lindy. You're so special.
I'm a freak. Are you going to shoot me?
What? No, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know.
Fuck, have you got that?
Sorry. You're not a freak. You're magnificent. Now, we can really start to work. Now, think about the things that we can do together.
Are you out of your mind? You betrayed me!
I helped you more than anybody else in the world.
Fuck you.
Vickers' car speeds down the street. A cop car follows. Vickers parks, and he and Nevin approach the doctor's door. They enter with guns.
Fucking
Lindy, drop the gun!
Hold on!
Drop the gun!
I'm not done!
Okay.
Vickers shoots Lindy in the leg. She falls to the floor.
Suck him!
Sorry, I thought you were trying to kill him.
No, you twat! I was doing your job
okay,
for you.
Don't
again.
Call me twat.
Ivan Marcellus Munchin, you're under arrest for practicing medicine without a license, money laundering.
Look, keep pressure on it.
Take your finger off my ankle.
That'll help.
Lindy in hospital.
And the security guards?
Self-defense.
And the incident with the jumper cables.
Also self-defense.
Self-defense. And the maternity ward.
Mistaken identity.
What happened to living by the rules?
Some rules are better than others.
What does this mean? I'm not going to jail?
You're going to jail. You attacked me. You drove around the city like a lunatic in a car that cost more than my yearly pay. You're going to jail, sweetie. I'll see you out front. Then I'll see you in court.
I look forward to it, Detective.
It's every day for me.
Nevin exits. Vickers sits at Lindy's bed. Vickers pulls out Lindy's vest and button in police bags.
They took it off you in the ambulance. So what's next?
I don't know. I start over, I guess. Just no more blind dates.
That's probably a good idea. Lots of creeps out there.
I mean, some nice guys, too.
Yeah.
Vickers pulls out Lindy's camera.
There you go.
Thank you. I'm not gonna find a bunch of pictures of your bumhole on this, am I?
Of my bumhole? No. What kind of sleazeball do you think I am?
I mean, the kind that shoots a woman in the leg.
Yeah, well, sorry about that. Well, you know, I could always make it up to you. Dinner or something.
I'll think about it.
An excellent cook. Double down on the halibut.
All right, piss off now.
Vickers leaves. Elsewhere, Lindy walks down the street with camera.
I don't need a man, no. I just need a man.
A beggar approaches.
Is there any change, please?
You was kinda handsome, but I don't know.
Lindy hands him the camera. She continues to walk.
I don't need a man, no. I just need a manicure.
She continues to walk down the street and approaches her old apartment. The park sign is no longer visible.
I don't need a man, no. I just need a manicure.
She enters. The whole apartment is covered in debris. There is police tape on the front door. Dust falls from the ceiling. She picks up a cardboard box and walks over to some debris. She lifts up a metal film canister. Inside are photos. She covers the canister and puts it in the box. She opens the only door, which leads to the bathroom. Behind her, a woman enters.
You're back.
Lindy turns.
Can I help you? I was just checking it out. You know, it looks so beat up from outside. Who are you?
Young Lindy in the padded room.
It's like a bomb went off in here.
Yeah, I had a tricky boiler.
She turns, eyes wide.
But why have you come back?
It's my apartment.
Well, most people, when their lives blow up, will just keep on running. It is so nice that you wanted to come home to try all over again.
Sorry, do I know you? Have you been following me?
Yeah.
What do you actually want?
You are just as spunky as Munchin described. You've done well under our care.
Okay, I've done enough messing around with psychotic therapists and the fucking CIA or whatever you are.
I totally understand. You spent years being forced to repress your anger.
I'm sorry about Justin. What he did was unsanctioned.
But now, Lindy, you have seen how powerful you can be when you embrace your rage.
I'm okay as I am, thanks.
Really? Well, how are you? You're not normal.
You really think you'd be happy living without a purpose?
Through our work, you'll learn to harness your rage and target the right people. Humans are the most powerful, undetectable weapon.
The woman pushes a button. Lindy's eye flashes. Blackout. Text, directed by Tanya Wexler. Written by Scott Washa. Produced by Cheryl Clark, David Bernardi. Produced by Les Weldon, Rob Van Norden, Yariv Lerner. Executive producers, Avi Lerner, Trevor Short, Jeffrey Greenstein, Jonathan Younger. Executive producers, Gareth West, Krista Campbell, Lati Grobman. Executive producers, Boaz Davidson, Heidi Jo Markle, Tanner Mobley. Co-executive producer, Victor Hedida. Co-producer, Ashley Henderson. Director of Photography, Jules O'Loughlin, ASC, ACS. Edited by Michael J. Duffy. Edited by Karsten Kirpanik. Production designer, Russell DeRosario. Costume designer, Carlos Rosario. Music supervisor, Ryan Svensson. Music by Dominic Lewis. Casting by Dan Hubbard, CSA. Kate Beckinsale. Jolt. Bobby Cannavale. Jay Courtney. Laverne Cox. David Bradley. Ori Pfeffer. With Susan Sarandon. And Stanley Tucci. A film by Tanya Wexler. In association with Eclectic Pictures. In association with Campbell Grobman Films. A Busted Shark production. A Millennium Media production. Andy stands outside the Techno Mag store. She clicks the key. She sees Justin's car react.
Holy shit.
The credits roll. Text, Jolt. Line producers, Mark Birmingham, Veselin Karajov. Unit production manager, Edward Ristelli Lewis. Camera operator, Jules O'Loughlin. B camera, Steadicam operator, Jonathan Tyler. C camera operator, Gail Ivanov. First assistant A camera, Charlie Whitaker. First assistant B camera, Paula Nenova. Script supervisor, Julia Patton. Storyboard artists, Demeter Ivanov. Additional electricians, Frederick Reynold, Svetislav Cherisharsky, Svetan Trifonov, Georgi Svetkov. Standby rigger, Svetan Svetkov. Camera operator, electrician, Greg Whitbrook. Desk operator, George Jenkins. Property Masters, Josh Polly, Peter Rakowski. Assistant Property Master, Lisa Turner. Props Buyer, Valentin Mitev. Storeman, Nicholas Shaw. Costume Designer, Carlos Rosario. Assistant Costume Designers, Anna Galinova, Hannah Campbell. Costumer Supervisor, Claudia Littlefield. Costume Coordinator, Liberty McMillan Parker. Costume Buyer, Jasmine Knox. Crowd Coordinator, UK, Kate Bronte Stewart. Costume Seamstresses, Marietta Dunchova, Phoebe Riley. Set Costumers, Gabriella Morpeth, Marina Proikova, Vyarka Serkova. Costumers, Anna Filipova, Laura Velkova, Bojana Vladova, Elena Zakova. Costume Assistants, Rennie Adams, Lamorna O'Toole. Costume Department Runner, Ben Price. Transport Coordinator, Bulgaria, Kaylin Nikolov. Transport Captain, UK, Liam Fellows. Ms. Wexler's Driver, Teodor Medvedev. Mr. Van Norden's Driver, Christo Ivanov. Mr. Bernardi's Driver, Aspara Avramov. Ms. Beckinsale's Driver, Daniil Pantaziev. Mr. Courtney's Driver, Svetan Dimitrov. Mr. Cannaval's Driver, Christian Marinov. Ms. Cox's Driver, Nikolai Asanov. Production Coordinator, Valeria Marinova. Assistant Production Office Coordinator, Anna Hajieva. Set Coordinator, Antonio Yordanov. Cleaning Lady, Temenyushka Dudekova. Production Accountant, Ventsislava Yova. Red Coral Catering, Borislava Ivanova. Craft Assistants, Sylvia Georgieva, Alexandrina Kovanova. Post Sound Services provided by New Boyana Studios, New Boyana, UK. Foley Artist, Tapio Lukonen. Sound Effects Editor, Nikolai Bakalov. ADR Recordist, Editor, Dialogue Editor, Adrian Gugov. Head Re-Recording Mix Tech, Ivan Nikolov. Re-Recording Mix Tech, ADR Recordist, Matt Bainbridge. ADR Casting, Hugh Edwards. Simulation Lead, Ivan Ivanov. Simulation Artists, Stanislav Dragunov, Ruman Kirov, Kalin Mihailov, Nikolai Mishanov, Georgi Stakov, Mihail Ivanov. Match Move Lead, Petr Tomov. Match Move Artists, Philip Cherkazov, Denitsa Georgieva, Amelia Georgieva, Iveta Ivanova. Animators, Petr Bakalov, Momchil Gindyanov, Kristiana Ristov, Petya Ristova, Svetan Ivanov, Orlan Nikolov, Boris Pavlov, Camelia Spirova. Compositors, Ani Milashova, Graciela Ristova, Katya Ivanova, Konstantin Dimitrov, Stanislav Stavrov, Dmitrina Torneva. Visual effects by New Boyana FX, New Boyana FX, Portugal. Production Coordinator, Andres Moss. VFX Supervisor, Pedro Domingo. CG Supervisor, Carlos Sidre. Animator Supervisor, Max Puentes. Executive Vice President, International Distribution, Adele Yoshioka. Production and Distribution Manager, Sam Schulte. Head of Finance, Gustavo Santana. Distribution Services, Daniel Chavez. Director of Development, Nicole Swinford. Head of Marketing, Heather Greenstein. Head of Music, Ryan Svensson. Contract Administration, Martha Castillo. Post-Production Accountant, Scylla Adler. Development Executive, Nicole Swinford. Contracts Administration, Jessica Young. Human Resources, Bradley Weiss. Accounts, Christine J. Forgo, Amelda Santiago, Julie Weissel, Ray Tamayo, Patricia Stanley. Assistants to Jeffrey Greenstein and Jonathan Younger, Thayer Jurgens, Ilya Pavlov. Copyright 2021. Millennium Media, all rights reserved. Logo, Amazon Studios.